And welcome to this weekend's Weekend Wrap. Joining me tonight is Nikki and Macca as we have a look at the Saints game. Good evening, guys. How are we going?
Quite pleased.
Quite pleased. It was a bit of a non-event. Did you guys go?
I actually didn't go, though. The wife wasn't feeling too good, so we decided we'll avoid the cold weather and just watch it on telly for the first time.
Well, I hope it looked better on the TV, because I tell you what, it was a pretty boring game live. What do you think, Nick?
Part of the way through the third quarter, I sat there and actually looked at my dad and went, oh, hang on, we've got another quarter after this, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a
maybe
bit of a...
we can get to the 100 points.
Well, I'm a bit of a sadist, so I love kicking sides' guts in and really just bashing them to pieces, so I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a training run, really.
Oh, we did work hard, though, to make it a training run.
Oh, that's true.
To be
that's
fair.
True. That's true. They didn't offer a huge amount of resistance, though, but we'll get to all that discussion. Let me just get myself organised here. It was my kid's first ever AFL game. This weekend, so they quite enjoyed it. And I managed to turn my trader's son back from Hawthorn to the Crows. So,
nicely done.
Double bonus there. All right, so let's have a look at the weekend results as we kick it off tonight, and we'll try and make it reasonably short given that we're starting late. So thanks those listening live for sticking around, and apologies for the late start. It was kind of unavoidable, really. Friday night, we had the Kangaroos getting up very comfortably over a disappointing Richmond. Richmond just aren't able to be consistent at the moment. They didn't look too good at all. Comfortable by 70-odd points, 124 to 54. Saturday, we had the Hawks getting over a pretty belligerent Melbourne. That was a good game to watch, actually, particularly the last quarter. Finally, Hawthorn's class probably showing out, getting up by 18. Carlton getting up over the Brisbane Lions, 102 to 64, getting up by 38. The Cats clawing their way to a victory over the Giants. And again, the Cats almost kicking themselves out of the game, really. 10 more scoring shots, but only winning by 10 points. The Swannies winning the battle for Noah's Ark up at Metricon over the Suns, comfortably in the end by 38. The Dockers having their first win of the season at home over the Bombers, 126 to 47. And then today we had the Power totally outclassing a disappointing Collingwood, undermanned Collingwood, I guess, 125 to 58, keeping their slim hopes alive. Pretty good battle by all accounts between Western Bulldogs and West Coast. The Bulldogs finally getting up by 8 points. West Coast would be disappointed with that. They've really got to start winning games on the road, and the Bullies were there for the taking, and West Coast should have won that game, I reckon. And then, of course, we had the Mighty Crows getting up in a canter, really, in a pretty lacklustre game. 19 goals, 19, 133 to 6 goals, 9, 45. Any surprises in amongst all of that for you guys?
Can I just say, I want to give a credit to the dude who turned up at the Wetricon Stadium with a snorkel.
Well, he had Noah's Ark parked out the car park, I reckon.
Well, actually, all the women's games up in Queensland got cancelled, and they put a picture up of them inspecting the ground for one of them. They're in a kayak.
It's unbelievable. Those pictures that were coming out of the Gold Coast were just incredible.
Yeah, that was just shocking. But it was actually quite an interesting game to watch, because good skills come to the fore in that kind of weather. But I think pretty much most of the round went the way what most people expected. West Coast were a lot closer to the Bulldogs.
Just one point you said there, Nikki, about... in that weather, you know, the good teams and the good players come to the surface. And in my dream team, I've got three of the Sydney midfielders, and they all scored very, very well indeed, because not only do they go in and get the ball, but they also tackle a lot as well. They are the complete footballers. They've got a very good midfield, Sydney. And I thought,
they do.
And I thought that's sort of where the shoot really shows up, who can play and who can't play. The other game I just want to mention is the Port Collingwood one. I thought Port did play very, very well, but Collingwood must have the worst defence in the league. It is hopeless.
Yeah,
worse than St Kilda.
St Kilda was sort of thrashed all around the ground, but Collingwood haven't got a bad midfield, and they've got a couple of decent forwards, but their defence is just like a bloody sieve.
Yeah, sorry, go on, Nick.
I'd say if you're actually looking at the Collingwood defence and you wanted to poach anybody, probably Jack Frost would be the only one.
Yeah. Well, they've had a few outs.
I wouldn't even want Jack Frost, and he's the best of them.
The game that disappointed me, I expected West Coast to beat the Bulldogs. Bulldogs, how many players they got out? West Coast, pretty much full strength. They should have accounted for the Bullies. I think, didn't the Bulldogs lose their captain before the game too? I think Bontempelli was captain this week.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, West Coast would be severely disappointed, and I think they're right for the taking next week, and obviously we'll get to that later, but we've got them at Domain next week, and I think they're just going at the moment. Having a look at the ladder, North Melbourne consolidating on top there, a win ahead of Sydney, who I think are certainly the form team of the comp at the moment. Geelong and the Bulldogs, and also Hawthorn on 32 points. Hawthorn only just going, the Bulldogs only just going, the Cats only just going. So you'd expect that 3-8 in particular is still wide open. The Giants slipping back there on 28 points now with the West Coast, who I just mentioned, and also the Crows. We're now even, so we're basically equal sixth now. And we're only 6% behind on percentage now too, so we're certainly pulling that part of it back. Outside of the eight, we've got Port on 24 points with Carlton. Carlton's got a pretty average percentage, so you think that would ruin any chances they might have of making the eight if Port keep winning. Melbourne back a game on 20 points, probably the only other contender, and then it falls away to Collingwood, St Kilda, Richmond, Suns, Frio off the bottom, Brisbane and Essendon. So really, I mean, it still looks like the eight is reasonably well set. The vulnerable team, I think, is probably the Giants. They had a dream start to the season. Now they're copping some away games and probably coming back to the pack a bit. They might find themselves vulnerable towards the end of the year if Carlton, Port and Melbourne continue their solid form. What do you guys reckon?
Well, for GWS,
they're a six-goal worst team away from home. That's what they've been this year and what they've been statistically for a number of years.
Yep.
So for them to actually get that close to Geelong, down at Geelong, to me that says what I've thought for quite a while, is that Geelong aren't that good.
But it also says the Giants aren't too bad either.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of that game and they had some really good chances there. They were just making, there were some silly little mistakes and the umpiring was being very helpful towards Geelong in that last quarter.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, we had a few screams about the umpiring, and I tell you what, the Giants have, they really do have a genuine reason to be very, very angry with the umpiring. I just thought they got slaughtered.
And interesting, it was Nichols.
Absolutely. Same man. Does he back a team or something? I don't know what goes on because he just seems to fancy favour one team.
Well, he actually, for a lot of the time, because you can see his head when they're showing the shots of the contest, etc., he's not even looking at the contest. He's looking elsewhere. Dude, you're the controlling umpire. You should be watching what's going on.
Well, his decisions look like that too.
Yeah, not the most impressive. Him and what's the other guys? Parnell.
Yeah.
Not a favourite. But anyway, let's move on to the question, the game in question, and just repeating the scores. Adelaide 19 goals, 19-133, got up over 88 over the St Kilda by 88 points, 6 goals, 9-45. No real last quarter fade out this week, which was pleasing. We played the game out, although it must have been difficult to maintain concentration in the last. Sunday twilight games are probably the worst possible time to play a game of football. But we really set the tone in the first quarter, 6 goals, 5 to 1 goals, 2, and from there it was pretty much over. Solid second and third quarters, and then held it together in the last to win very comfortably. Some interesting stats that probably outline just how terrible St Kilda really were. Disposals 474 to 298. I mean, that's an incredible disparity of disposals. Our kick to handball ratio was again, but it was 1.5 to 1. 168 marks to 70. They out tackled us probably because they were always late to the contest. Source managed to win the ruck battle slightly, and we'll talk individuals, but I thought he had a great game. 30 hit outs to 26. Freeze 21 to 9, but it never really. I mean, we got a couple of what I would call soft ones, but gee whiz, they just didn't earn any free kicks, really, as far as I was concerned. We only travelled at 50% conversion again, which was disappointing, but we were quite efficient. 12 disposals per scoring shot, 69 inside 50s to 30 is probably the tail of the tape. You know, and we just beat them in all categories. We beat them in contested possessions. We smashed them in uncontested possessions. We killed them in effective disposals. We ran at nearly 80% effective disposal rate. Clangers 52 to 36, showing that they turned it over when they actually did get the ball. We beat them in the air, doubled their contested mark count. We took 28 marks inside 50. I can't remember us taking that many marks inside 50. 33 clearances to 22. They beat us in rebound 50s just because we had so much of the ball inside our 50. And that's really about it, really. But, you know, just a pretty dominant display all round, don't you reckon?
I would be interested to know if it's ever happened before where a team has exactly the same number of possessions for three quarters in a row. Because we did 129 in the first quarter. We then did 115 in the second, third and fourth.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's unusual.
And we had something like our inside 50s where I think 18, 17, 17, 18. Or they're always around the same amount.
Well, the good part about it, that is that we did. If you take a guide through those stats, it indicates we did play four very even quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it looked like being there.
Yeah. Before we get to the individuals, it looked to me like they couldn't keep up with us in the first quarter. We belted them in the middle of the ground, and our forward 50 entries were very effective. Our forwards were on top of the ground. And then after quarter time, Richardson just decided, we'll stuff it, we'll just flood and lose by as little as possible, and it just basically killed the contest. And that's why the possession or disposal counts is such a disparity there, because the pleasing thing from my point of view, even though it was quite boring to watch, is we didn't panic with the ball. We tried to different methods of getting through and around their flood, their zones. And we used the ball pretty effectively and hit up targets. So from that perspective, it was an interesting game to watch. But, yeah, you question Alan Richardson. I mean, obviously, Revolt got hurt early and they lost another couple of blokes. Poor old Hugh Goddard did an Achilles, apparently, and then that pretty nasty head knock later on in the match. But I don't know why they persisted in just dropping everyone behind the ball. It really killed the contest.
Well, at one stage there, they had the whole 18 of their players in our forward 50.
Oh, that was quite regular.
I was having fun counting how many they had outside our forward 50 whenever we kind of had the ball about from mid of the centre.
There'd be nothing there.
Yeah, normally there'd be about three or four.
I was going to say that'd be about it, maximum four, but probably more like two to three most of the time.
So they were getting those fast breaks, and they'd get that ball, and probably what you can't see on the TV for those who are watching is that all of a sudden our defence had set up beautifully across that back line. They just looked up and go, they've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, that's why
we were getting those kicks.
You could actually work that out, Nikki, because of the fact that often St Kilda would get the ball in the back lines and instead of running straight ahead, they'd take two strides forward and then do a complete U-turn because there was nobody up ahead.
Yeah. Well, and the pleasing thing from my perspective is that we didn't get sucked up the ground. We tended to have two, sometimes three, sitting across the middle of the ground, generally Talia, Cheney and... someone like
Lever.
Brown or Lever or Brown or someone like that. So not only did they have no one there, they also couldn't get us over the back because we outnumbered them. So it was shitty tactics from my perspective from Richardson. But I honestly think after quarter time, they just didn't think they could win, and that was the end of it.
Well, that's true. Well,
he said in his aftermatch press conference that what it was that the players came with a lack of intent, and it was very disappointing from him, from what he was seeing, that they were just beaten from the very start of the game, that there was that intent was just missing. And he didn't shy away from it in saying, well, you know, that might be an issue with us in coaching, so we'll go back and we'll have a look at it. But you look at the numbers, and he goes, they're going to be very damning. So he was very upfront about that.
Yeah, but I think he's probably right too. Perhaps his players weren't quite as dedicated to the cause as they could have been. But in the first quarter, when they probably weren't their most dedicated, well, we were still overrunning them because we played some very good football. And that, I think, we had 38 scoring shots from 69 forward entries. That's a hell of a very good ratio, and that's because we've got this beautiful mix in our forward lines of guys that can lead, that can mark, that can crumb. We couldn't ask for a better mix in the forward line, really. I think that's what makes it so potent.
What I've enjoyed watching over the last couple of weeks, Macca, is that we've started to drop our eyes and hit up targets. Our marks inside 50 count was up versus GWS, and then obviously it skyrocketed this week against St Kilda. But it's much more apparent to me that the bombing blindly on top of Eddie's head or on top of Tex's head, that thing of the past. They must have worked very hard on our entries inside 50 because it's a lot more efficient and it's a lot more concerted, and it's paying dividends. I mean, we're kicking big scores, and over the last couple of weeks, had we kicked accurately, we probably would have kicked two bags of, 20-plus goals. So when it's on and when the midfield are working hard, that forward 50 is extremely dangerous.
Yep, and I must forgive take my hat off to Lyons, but he's a guy that I've bagged a lot over the years, not for not being any good, but I always thought he was just a little bit vanilla, but his usage of the ball has been tremendous. He loads his eyes and he's either chip passes or nice little long kick into position. And I thought he actually set up a lot of play today.
Well, and the other one, which I just want to highlight, is on the eastern wing when Malira takes the handball and he does that pass into the forward 50. Before he took possession of the ball, he was actually looking into the forward 50 to see what was going on, takes possession, and then he doesn't have to rush because he knows what's ahead of him already and where he's going to kick it.
Well, it's a good segue into looking at some of the individual stats for the game. Matt Crouch was our highest disposal getter. He actually had 17 disposals to quarter time in a bit of a statement.
Oh, yeah. then they sat on him.
Yeah, we ended up with 36 posies, 17 kicks, 19 handballs, so a good mix there. Three tackles, what was his clearance numbers? He had 9 clearances. Had it obviously
what was
a good
his disposal efficiency?
Disposal efficiency, nearly 78%.
That's good for him.
77.8. So a very, very solid game from Matt. Good to see him back. And I felt that him and Jared Lyons on the inside worked really, really well. Jared Lyons had 28 touches, 16 kicks, 12 handballs. Also 4 inside 50s, 4 clearances. But like you said, Macca, where I felt his worth was his disposal, his ability to pick out targets. And not only that, it's the first game I've been to this year, so he is very good at our system. He knows where he needs to be. He demands players to be in certain areas, and I actually think he suffers a little bit from players not using him when they probably should. And I think Jared might actually get a little bit frustrated by that at times. But the longer he stays in the side, the more value I can see him being to our system. And I wouldn't have said that 12 months ago. So kudos to him, as you said. I thought his game was excellent today.
Yeah, well summed up.
Sloane had 32 touches in a lazy game for him. 15 kicks, 17 handballs, 7 marks. Kicked a goal, just a few tackles, 8 tackles, went at 78% efficiency, which is good for Sloane because he can sometimes burn it a little bit. 3 clearances. Marshalled the troops, particularly in the second half. He was almost our quarterback across the middle there. Extremely good game from him. It was great to see Rory Laird back. You forget how composed and how good he is in our back six. 30 touches, 11 kicks, 19 handballs, 8 marks, 2 inside 50s. Went at 83% disposal efficiency. An excellent game from Lairdy, and good to see him back. Jakey Lever, 30 touches.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, in all honesty, he was unmanned for a lot of it, but he put himself in the hole. He did what he needed to do, and he distributed nicely. He went at 90% disposal efficiency. So that's what you want from your loose man. So not only did he get it 30 times, he took 13 marks, 3 inside 50s, as I said, 90% disposal efficiency, an excellent game from Jake. And also Tails, 26 touches, 18 and 8, 17 marks, which is outstanding from Talia. But I thought the person that stood out to me the most, and it's not trade bait, I thought it was Sam Jacobs' best game for quite some time. 24 touches, 16 kicks, 8 handballs, 6 marks, kicked 1 goal, 1, which was very disappointing, I think, for Vardy, who or someone in Game of Crows on Thursday night had Jacobs to kick 2, so he kicked 1 goal, 1, and he only missed that one by a little bit. So bad luck there. 27 hit-outs, 7 inside 50s. So, and really is playing a link man role at the moment. And then obviously
Well, that was actually deliberate when I was watching it, because Hickey was jumping very early and he was getting the taps. And because from the second quarter onwards, they concentrated a lot more on Crouch to stop Crouch. And so Hickey was the one being sucked into that. We were very smart, because then what we did was we started using Jacobs as the extra midfielder. Okay, so we've lost that from Crouch, so we've got this nice target in Jacobs to use instead. And so, I mean, the nickname he has around the club anyhow is Tall Mid, because he does have some very neat skills and he moves quite well. And it was very concerted effort on behalf of our midfield to work that, was what I noticed at the ground.
Yep, he's building a bit, Sam. He looks like he's moving a little bit more freely now. So whether he was carrying a niggle, who knows? Brody Smith had Brody Smith had a good game. 24 touches, 7 marks.
Let me
except
just
for kicking for goal.
Yeah, and I want to make one complaint about Brody. I'm in several dream teams, and I lost one dream team by 2 points. And all Brody had to do was get one more mark or one more kick, a mongrel.
Well,
but he wouldn't do it.
It might have been his Clang account, because he only went at 58.3, which is probably the only criticism of Brody's game. He did burn it a little bit. JJ obviously kicked 7 goals, 3. Did his trade value no harm at all. Did Josh, 20 kicks, 4 handballs, 13 marks.
We won't be trading him, mate.
Oh, turn it up, Macca.
You're on this roll again, aren't you? you're trying to suck me in again, but he's not going anywhere.
What I quite loved was that goal to the northern end. He started behind his man when Eddie kicked that goal, and he's about 2 or 3 metres behind him, and he ends up a metre in front. But we do forget how quick he is sometimes.
Oh, look, you know, and that'll be a good selling point when he is on the trade table.
Oh, gee whiz.
Keep it up, you're dreaming.
Yeah, no, he's staying. He'll be there again next year. And you can then
Can we talk about another forward?
Yeah, Tex played well.
No.
Tommy Lynch?
McGovern.
Yeah, Mitchy McGovern. Didn't do much, but what he did was pretty special.
Oh, you mean like the little tap down to
yeah,
Tex?
Yeah, to Tex, yeah.
He's got a brain in his head, that boy.
Oh, he's a good player, no doubt. He needs to get involved more. He only had the 7 disposals for the match, was probably a bit... But he took 7 marks, so...
Yeah, he could have taken more.
Yeah, that's his strength, obviously. Overhead, he's a beast.
He's going to be a star. He'll be an absolute star.
Oh, yeah. He attacks the ball at the apex so well, better than any other player in our team, I reckon.
And he's got that hang time. So there was a mark right in front of where I sit. So his defender is right on his tail. But when he jumps in the air, he just jumps that little bit forward and he can just hang there. And so when he lands, he's a metre in front
of the defender.
The defender's just going, I can't get that.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. He really does attack it at the right point. And that, I think what you're referring to there, Nikki, that was on the southeastern half forward line or
yep.
forward pocket. Yeah, I noticed that as well. He was basically one out with a guy and level pegging and just jumped early, attacked the ball, and the defender was completely out of the contest. I thought Cole Chaney was good early when the heat was probably on a little bit.
Had a good game, yep.
Yep. Rory Atkins was okay, 19 touches. What he did very well.
Got put in the middle a couple of times.
Yeah. Yep. Tex looked good when it mattered. Faded a little bit towards the end, but starting to get off the ground and starting to return to a little bit of that beast mode. So obviously he's over that foot injury and starting to get some fitness in the legs, which was good. Pretty much the only disappointing player from my point of view is one Richard Henderson. Oh, my God.
Well, and nothing changes. There's no reason why it'll change because it's him.
Just all at sea, Richard. And he gets his 20 touches and he takes his 7 marks and he runs at 80% disposal. And on the surface, you look at his numbers and you go, well, that's not a bad game. But my God, the amount of contests that man does not enter by choice is astounding for an AFL footballer. And I know... He's in your words, Macca, he's a soft cock, and I agree 1,000%. And if you want to play, like, even up forward, he had a stupid shot at goal where he should have centered the ball. He turned the ball over a couple of times when he shouldn't have. He didn't go for contested marking situations. He's just there's better players in our squad to fill the role that he can only fill, and I think it's about time he got given the boot.
Well, he wouldn't be in if I was a selector. What gets him in is he's got height and he's got mobility. And if you don't look at what he actually does with the ball, well, you get sucked in a little bit. But if you watch it very closely at the contest like we are doing, and he should never get injured, this guy. He's never in one.
No.
What I found interesting was that there were a couple of times where we could have – our players decided not to kick to him. He was in the clear, but it then would have meant that it was a mark and go back. So it seemed that we were quite conscious of only giving it to him when using him as the link man on the run. We don't want him to stand there and not make a decision for a very long time.
Yeah, but that's consistent with what Pikey's game plan is, just to move that ball like grease lightning into our forward line, because we've got a very potent forward line. The quicker you get it there, the less chance for the defender.
The trouble with Henderson is that he's quite hesitant. And as I was saying before, with Lyons being very up to speed with our system, Henderson's the opposite, in my opinion. There are a couple of times he had the ball on our half forward line just outside 50, and he laid an egg on it. And the bloke just, there's no redeeming qualities. There's plenty of blokes in the twos that can pick up 20 vanilla possessions and give us more. And I think I don't see him in our best 22. I think his good points are limited, and there are other people that can give us that plus more. So he was probably the only bloke that stood out to me as having a disappointing game. Everyone else was almost an all-played-well situation, really.
Dougie was a little bit quiet.
I think he was doing a job again.
I have a feeling he was on Jack Stephen.
Yeah. So Sloaney was doing a little bit, but he was then released a bit more. But we've been very consistent that Douglas is pretty much our stopper midfield. So we're not getting the numbers from him. So I've seen a lot of comments, Douglas is going to get dropped because, you know, he didn't do well. The fact that he's continually getting picked tells me that he is definitely doing these jobs and they're happy with him. Okay, we're not getting the high possession count, but he's doing something we need him to be doing for our team to be winning.
That's an interesting point because, the tagger went out of existence virtually last year. But I think it's starting to sneak back in again this year. I mean, North Melbourne, they use a tagger, and he's a very good one.
Jacobs.
Yeah, and Jacobs. And Fremantle, they used Barlow as a tagger this week, and Targa made Zaharakis look like a B-grader. He just wouldn't let him get the ball.
Teams have been sitting on Sammy Mitchell a couple of last couple of weeks too, and his numbers are quite down. So I think you're right, Macca. I think it is creeping back into the game. Certainly what Walshy would term the cooler role, if not a hard tag. We saw Bernie Vince go pretty hard with Mitchell in the Melbourne Hawthorn game.
Correct, so, yep.
So it's certainly there. And I think Dougie does play a slightly defensive role. I think the indicator of that, because it's all supposition from our point of view at this stage, but the indicator will be we've got Brad Crouch and Tomo, who you would expect to come into the side at some stage. If Douglas is one of the players that makes way for one of those two, then you probably deduce from that he's not quite fulfilling a role. But if it's someone else, or if those two don't break back into the team, then you're pretty much spot on, Nick.
Well, the interesting thing is that we're going to end up with a flood of midfielders all vying for the one spot. I mean, Brad Crouch can't be too far away. Tomo's got to come back in again. And the boys that played there, they played so well. I don't know how you get them all in.
Well,
in the SNFL, nobody was really pushing down the door for selection whatsoever.
No, Brad had, 29 touches, I think?
One okay quarter in the third. Okay. Men played well, but as I said, we're conserving him. He's quite good. McKay, at one stage, was actually our most effective forward, and he was playing on the wing, so that's not good on our forwards. And I thought Ramsey and Dodé were quite good down back. Grigg was good in and out, but that was really about it. There wasn't anybody there standing out saying, pick me.
Only overs are hard ground to play too.
It was so slippery.
Yeah, it's small, and when it's wet, it's not an easy ground to play on at all. But obviously, we'll talk about the SANFL a little bit more. But getting our midfield rotations right is going to be quite interesting because we've got a bit of quality on the wings, Crouch and Thompson. And I think Jared Lyons has done everything you could possibly ask of him and added value to the team since he's been in. So I don't think, he's been dropped once, probably erroneously, early in the season and come back in, continue to play well. His numbers are building, very close to having a 30 possession game today. And as I said, I think as he gets used a little bit more, those numbers will creep up. So I don't see who comes out at the moment.
Well, Tomo has to come back in again because he is a genuine A-grader and he's a genuine part of the side. So maybe it's Miller that goes out. I don't know. It's just going to be a balanced selection question for the selectors, and then they're going to have to take into account who we're playing and who would match up with who.
Yeah, to me, that's what I think it'll come down to is us looking as well as how we want to play, but also who our opponents are. Because that's what I've noticed about Pikey is that whilst we're kind of playing our way, we're still also got a game plan that means we can counter the other teams. And there's often a concerted plan in place regarding the way an opposition plays.
Yeah, and when you think about it, there's not too many spots in question. There could be a back pocket spot or, Henderson's role basically is probably in question. You could argue that Miller and McGovern, whilst what they do is very good, we're probably not getting enough out of Miller at the moment. And I would argue that Mitch needs to make sure that he stays involved in the game for longer periods as well. But I actually have a sneaking suspicion, Nikki, that we might see Menzel in for Miller after the break.
I think that could be a possibility. I think what we've been doing, especially with Gov and with Wayne, is that we're getting them used to playing with our forwards at that level. And Menzel definitely he's had a very unfortunate start to the SANFL with his concussion. And the stupid buzz we've had. So that didn't help for him to get some continuity. But he's definitely been building the past couple of weeks that I've seen him. And we're playing him a lot through the midfield as well, up on the wing. So that kind of complements what we do with Miller a little bit.
I think it's... let's talk about this in a minute when we go through the SANFL game. Any more thoughts on the Saints game? I think the things that pleased me most was our movement inside 50, our ability to pick our way through St Kilda's flood without panicking. It was very concerted and very considered the way that we picked through the flood. It didn't always come off, but it wasn't blazing away. I liked that we maintained our shape. We kept players behind the contest so we didn't get beaten out the back. And I thought overall it was another one of these games where players had roles to play and played them very well. Very similar to GWS, although, obviously not the same amount of pressure. But Pikey in his press conference said that they were looking for even performance and team football meant that, or total football meant that, we rely on the sum of the parts rather than the individuals. And it's really starting to take shape. And he acknowledged in his presser that we're starting to see players get a far clearer picture of what, quote-unquote, Crows football is all about.
Yeah, and the other point you made it was we don't have very many weak spots at the moment. So if you're playing in the SAFL, there aren't too many players that are going to get an opportunity to get a promotion to the league side, because there's probably only two players, Henderson and Miller, that are obvious players that might come under consideration to be replaced. And when Nicky was talking before about Menzel, well, Menzel, if he did come in, he'd probably take Miller's spot. And the other one with Henderson, I have no doubt that if Curtly Hampton had been fit and playing up to the his capabilities, that he would have been the one that would be in Henderson's role.
No doubt.
And just on when you talked about that ability to beat the handball out the back, I was so pleased to see how hard we were actually working at the ground to always maintain that outlet handball. And even if we were then shut down, there was another player there immediately to then assist. It was really great hard running to watch that pattern kind of evolving.
I thought our work rate in the first quarter was outstanding. When the game was there to be won, our defensive pressure inside 50 was outstanding, and there was some real intent. And Richardson mentioned that word in his press conference, which a word to describe what St Kilda lacked, which was intent. But we certainly turned up ready to go, and we stamped our authority on the game early, and a lot of that was down to our pressure around the clearances and our defensive pressure in our forward 50.
And the other thing too, I know we've only played against decorated witch's hats, but I thought Nicky raised a very good point too about the handball use when we were looking for a way out. We had a situation, instead of that we had three guys, instead of three charging in to get the ball, only one went in for the ball and two stayed out on the outside to help that person, if they got into trouble, to receive the handball and move it on. So I think we're gradually getting the concept of not all rushing in with the one desire of trying to get the ball and then just really competing against yourself. So I thought that was a big improvement today.
Yeah, I agree, Macca. It's that whole thing about role-playing, and I think blokes are starting to understand what's expected of them in various situations. And clearly today our ball winners were Crouch and Lyons, with a bit of Sloaney in there and some defensive pressure from Douglas. Didn't see a lot of Betts and Cameron through the middle this week. But
they were mostly coming off the back of the square. Neither of them went into the middle.
Yeah, there was a nice play. I think it was Charlie cut through. Might have been in the last quarter, early in the last quarter. But their numbers were both down. But, you know, you're going to get that in this sort of game, I think. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, decorated witch's hat, Macca. So it's hard to take much else from the game, really, apart from the fact that we did what we needed to do and we got the result we probably we needed to get.
And a bit of percentage, yep.
Yep. Anything else to add, you guys?
No, I think we've killed it, haven't we?
Pretty much. Just quickly on the SANFL, obviously we went down to the Mighty Blues by 10 points.
You'd be happy.
I'm happy, yes. 10 goals, 10-70 Sturt to 9 goals, 8-60 Adelaide. Sturt overran us in the last quarter by a couple, and that was the end result, basically. As we mentioned,
it took them a while to get going.
Yeah, it was a pig of a game, pig of a ground. I can't stand on Lee Oval. I've been going there for years.
I've played on it and many times. And I never played a good game on it. Oh, at least I like the bigger ovals. It's a shocking oval to play on.
It's small, and I don't know about you, Macca, but I always found that it was slightly bent. I don't reckon the goals line up. A bit like Prospect.
I never got the ball often enough on that oval to know.
Well, it's one of the Sturt players who kept trying to kick it into the bowling green. He didn't want to get it anywhere near the goals. We basically had no run from the start. They looked flat from the start. Even though we were up and we were winning the game, we were just flat.
Yeah, well, the number disposal count looks down. You know, we had some, I mean, Crouch got 29. That's probably down on what you'd expect from him. Harry Wigg keeps pushing for selection. He had 27. I'd like to see him come in for Hendo.
He was quite good.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come in from Hendo. I know you're saying, Nick, that he's playing midfield, but he's played a lot of halfback, and I think he offers us some versatility and some value that Henderson doesn't give us.
We were playing Hendo mostly on the wing. We switch our wings quite a lot. We rotate through there quite heavily. And we know we can play wing.
Yeah, exactly. So Cam Ellis-Yeoman had 27 touches, but only 8 kicks. You'd want more than 19 handballs from Cam Ellis-Yeoman. He's, I don't know. I like him a lot, but he's not pushing hard enough for selection at the moment.
He's really looking like trade bait at the end of the year, isn't he?
Well, he is. I mean, he's in that Sam Carriage mode, I reckon. He would look good in another team that needs that type of midfielder. But at the moment, with our depth in the midfield, struggling to make a name, which is unfortunate.
He did a very lovely touchdown over our 50-metre line, just with how slippery it was. He managed to get away, tried to accelerate, and the ground just slipped out under him, and it was kind of actually hilarious at the time, but it was a perfect touchdown.
Yeah.
The only thing is nobody's saying he can't play, but the biggest problem is there isn't a role for him.
But he's not forcing his way in, is he? And that's the thing. You want your midfielders to be forcing their way in. And at the moment, apart from Crouch, who's doing it on the bit, really, at SANFL level, we don't really have too many. Mitch Grigg, 22 touches. Dean Gore's only having 18 touches. So we haven't got, obviously we've got Riley Knight still not playing. So, not a huge amount demanding a spot. Obviously Tomo in the wings as well. So Cam Ellis-Yeoman has probably dropped back to the pack a little bit. And that's a shame for him. But like you say, I'm sure there'll be a team around that'll want him, Macca, at the end of the season. And he's probably worth a solid second round pick, I reckon. What do you reckon?
Carlton.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Apparently Carlton have been in his ear.
Well, if we can get something for him, I'd take it because...
Can I have Cripps?
We won't. We'd all like to have Cripps. No, he's an excellent midfielder, that guy. Handball's too much, I think. But apart from that, you'd love to have a guy like Cripps in the middle.
So at the moment, Nikki, you want Prestia, Cripps and Lachie Neal. So we'd have to trade
that'd
out...
be acceptable.
We'd have to trade out the rest of the bloody squad.
No, the way it goes, you kind of have to cast your net a bit wide to catch one.
Yeah, well, I'd take any one of those three. Probably Prestia would be my number one, but Paddy Cripps is a bit of a star in the making, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, not a lot to write home about from the SANFL. DMAC, solid game. Tom Doody seems to be improving.
He's quite nice.
Just on DMAC, what do you think his prospects are of being brought back into the side in place of Miller?
No. I think we will keep developing Miller because Miller offers he can't get the higher possessions yet than what DMAC does, but in terms of up forward, Miller is a much more natural forward than DMAC is.
Yeah, but I wasn't meaning a forward, though, Nicky, not as a forward. I mean, as that transit, that's one of the reasons why Hendo's in, because, Mackay's not there.
Yeah, see, I think if Mackay does come back in, it'll be at the expense of Henderson.
I wouldn't be
hopefully. Because at least we know Mackay is going to put his body over the ball.
Yeah, DMAC will give us a contest.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
You know, I'd still rather see a Harry Wigg type come in, but I could certainly see, the way selection's been running so far this year, I could certainly see DMAC coming in for Hendo, and I wouldn't be disappointed with that.
I think you've got to have that balance of the youth that we're developing for our style of football. So we've got... I think I said this last week, we've got McGovern and Miller up forward. We've got Lever down back, who's only a second-year player, through the midfield, so we're getting more numbers into Crouch. occasionally we're throwing some of the other younger guys through there. You got to think Atkins is still quite young in terms of game time.
Oh yeah.
So you've got to have that balance between some senior and the junior ones. And I think at the moment the club's pretty much got it right.
Hard to argue with you.
Yep. So obviously next week is a big test for us against West Coast. You know, I think West Coast are only just going, but they're always a better side at Domain. So 6 day break, although they're coming off six as well, so that's not a factor. But that'll be a real test for us with their forward line and their solid midfield. It'll be a real test for us. The test for them will be if we do get midfield ascendancy containing our forward line.
Yep, but that's one of the reasons why I thought the DMAC could be a big chance to come back in, because it's a very long oval, and if he played that transitional role, taking from defence and running forward and bringing it into the forward line. So I think that actually enhances his prospects of coming in.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Macca. You need a bit of pace down at Subiaco, and like you say, with a longer ground, you just need to be able to carry the ball a little bit more. I'd prefer to see DMAC in over Henderson. Absolutely. Funny Magic makes a good little point on the chat. Hardigan has been a massive bonus for us this year. I think our back six in general have been a massive bonus for us this year. It was probably the area of the ground that we were most worried about as a supporter base, and yet seeing that group, you know, Lukey Brown, Rory Laird, Tiles, Hardigan, and despite what people say, Cheney as well, really gel and form a very solid back six. It's certainly probably opened our window a year earlier than otherwise would have been the case, I suspect.
And I'd say that's where we've probably got that little bit of strongest depth in terms of the SNFL and those performers who are performing well. We haven't had Shaw, unfortunately, still with his concussion, and I think the way it's going, if the fact is that he actually can't train, he may be lost to the AFL, which is a pity because he'd started to show some really nice improvement back to that player we have seen glimpses at the very start of his career before the hamstring issues sort of kicked in.
Yeah.
But Keith was a little up and down, but his good is very, very good. And he's quick and he's tall. Dodé is that great third forward. Ramsey, because we've got the height up forward, so instead of him doing forward, we've pushed him back. He was probably in our best players, if not the best on the ground, I thought, against Sturt. He was doing some great run out of there, and he's got a really good kick on him.
How'd Jake Kelly where go? It comes,
not as good as I would have liked. I know he can do better. He was still good, but he can do better.
Yeah. He's the one I feel might fall out of favour first, Jake. Such good signs early on last year, but I think he's just fallen away a touch. And I don't like
broken hand doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But you would think he's the one that you would think would probably come in for Henderson under different circumstances if Henderson was playing in that back six. But he doesn't seem near it at the moment. You might see him put on the table back to Collingwood.
He doesn't want to go to Collingwood.
Well, I know
his old man. I think, yeah, and I don't think his old man wants him Collingwood either.
Isn't Craig on the board at Collingwood?
No, because he's a player agent. He used to be, but no. Then he went into got his own business. Or has he gone on the board?
No. I don't think he's actually an agent anymore. I think he still runs his business.
Otten was very, very good as well on the weekend. So, yes, he's lost his pace, etc., but he's, you know, emergency in case of, break you know, glass. Break glass in case of emergency. There it is. Got it out. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
He was still quite good.
So
he's one who can come in.
All right. So I'd like just a quick comment on the West Coast game coming up, and then we'll wind it up. We're just about at the hour. You know, as I said, I think if we can get on top in the midfield, our forward line's going to really trouble them. But if they get on top, I think vice versa. Their tall timber up forward is going to give us some headaches too. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think it's going to be a very tough game, to be honest, because they are a much better side at home than they are away. And they got within, was it 7 or 8 points of the Bulldogs, who are one of the quality sides in the team in the AFL. So it's not going to be a very easy game. And as I said, they play a lot better at home. They do have a genuine good forward line. So I would like to see a situation that at least we don't fall back into the habit of letting them have more inside 50s than ourselves. If we can match them in the midfield, at least break even with them in the midfield so that we have the same number of inside 50s, well, it'll be a very interesting game. I think we can win it, but it won't be by very much.
How about you, Nick?
I'd be very interested to see McGovern versus McGovern.
Yeah. Who's going to sit on whose head?
But you'll probably get to see that.
Little brother will. Little brother will. He gets the chance to outmark his big brother. He's going to do it.
But that could really happen, though, Nicky, because they'll both be on the same end of the ground.
I wonder how often that's happened.
Oh, the Jarmans played on each other. We've had that before. True.
I can't think of too many, though. Did the Crackers... The Cracker Boys back in the 80s, Macca, were they always both at Kangaroos, or did one of them move?
From my memory, they both always played with North Melbourne. They're from West Australia, those two boys.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can't think of too many others.
I have to say, though, with the Jarmans playing on each other, I did get to see one of the best banners I've ever seen at the football, which is "Our Jarmans better than your Jarman."
Except it was wrong.
No, we just kind of got the two good ones. We got the better one in the end.
In the end, yeah. But, the bald nut wasn't as good as the fat gut, that's for sure.
He still wasn't too bad. Oh, here we go. Did Selwood ever tag Selwood? I reckon they did.
They had a bit of a punch-up too, yeah.
They did.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Good call, Ben Tree, on the chat there.
Well done.
Yeah, you get a T-shirt when we decide to make some.
Have a virtual one in its place.
Yeah, that's right.
But don't walk around bare-chested.
Not in this weather.
No,
you'll get a cold before he gets a T-shirt.
All right, well, I think we might wrap it up on that note. It's starting to get a little bit messy and really
the Saints game. I want to watch the replay.
Yeah, well, is it up yet? Oh, you guys have got Fox. I've got to wait for AFL to put it up.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, look, thanks very much for joining us, everyone, particularly given the lateness of the wrap this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. Obviously, the Crowbar Boys are back tomorrow with their incomparable style to talk about the game. We've got Tuesday Night Live, and I've been promised by the club this week that we're going to have a player. Still haven't told me who, but they apologised for last week's mishap, but we will have a play this week to be announced.
That means I'm missing pizza night at the footy training. Oh, damn.
Well,
sacrifices, Nicky. Sacrifices.
Sacrifices. I get to miss pizza and watching recap of the boys' game. Oh, diddums.
And just flagging too that over the bye week we'll probably do something a little bit different as well, so stay tuned for that in a couple of weeks. Obviously, Scorpus and myself on Thursday night for the preview. Mr. Mystery Guest taking a little break for a while. And so it goes. So, yep, thanks, guys. Thanks, Macca and Nicky, for coming along tonight.
Pleasure as always. Very enjoyable.
No problems.
And we will see you another day. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.